Back in 1969, to mock the new popularity of poorly written, sexually explicit books, 25 Newsday journalists got together to write the parody, Naked Came the Stranger. It spent 13 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. Many of those readers knew it was a joke and bought it anyway. Others just bought it. Fast forward 43 years.
He eases me toward the bed until I feel it behind my knees. He grabs my hips with both his hands and runs his tongue around my navel, then gently nips his way to my hip bone, then across my belly to my other hip bone. Ah, I groan.
That's an excerpt from 50 Shades of Grey. It's not a parody. It spent 25 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list and has spawned its own parody, The Diamond Club, which is a crowdsourced ebook that's gotten as high as number 4 on iTunes' top 10 paid ebooks list. The book is the brainchild of Brian Brushwood and Justin Young, the hosts of the NSFW Show podcast. Young says he took inspiration from Naked Came the Stranger.
I had just heard about Mike McGrady's passing, who did the Naked Came the Stranger hoax, and I'm like, well, we can do exactly this. We can write a novel, but we can sort of twist it a little bit. So instead of it being a staff of Newsday writers, we can reflect the modern times and have our audience be our content creators. The main character of Naked Came the Stranger sleeps with these very 1960s kind of characters, like a reformed rabbi and a crooner. We'll update that with our own version of trendy topics like vlogger and cupcake artist and fixed gear bicyclist.
Your audience, I guess, ultimately produced a 100,000-word Google Doc. How many people participated and how involved were you?
We don't quite know exactly how many people had some kind of impact on the book. They've all taken this monk-like vow of silence. For me and Brian's involvement, we laid out exactly what the basics of the plot were going to be, which is that there is a woman who builds a big dating site with a super sex-charged Mark Zuckerberg kind of character. In the first chapter, she finds out that he has married somebody behind her back, and then she kind of goes from there on a 250-page sexual odyssey.
Now, you didn't just send the book out into the world and see it climb the charts. You told your audience to buy it and give it great reviews.
Yeah.
So how do we know that this success isn't just a closed loop where the authors are the buyers and that's just it?
Quite simply because we don't have that many fans. we've done things like this before, and really what we expected was for it to hit the top 10 charts, for us to chart somewhere about where we wound up topping off at about 4, and then that would be it. It would drop like a stone. We'd declare victory, and that's what we've done in the past, and that's what we expected to happen here. This did not happen. Another indication that it wasn't just our fans is that initially when we did our first big push, the also bought row on iTunes showed a lot of things that our audience has also bought, including Brian's books. My friend Andrew Main is a self-published thriller author. A lot of his books showed up there. However, what we saw is like a mood ring, it kind of changed from those books by Brian and Andrew and sci-fi and fantasy to a lot of self-published 99-cent ebooks with very romance novel-y kind of names, like, you know, Bear to Him and stuff like that.
We heard a snippet of 50 Shades of Grey. Let's hear a snippet of your crowdsourced book.
Shh, he said. Why don't you come with me back to my restaurant, and I'll show you some of my techniques firsthand. His private driver drove us to Alfeo's, his restaurant on the pier. I've always wanted to eat there, but Roman would never take me. Now, it appeared that Alfeo would be taking me in more ways than one.
It's so ridiculous, isn't it?
Is it true you actually haven't read the whole book?
Oh, absolutely. 110% true. I haven't read the whole book.
Why not?
No. Every day I kind of woke up thinking that this one would just kind of go away and we would all just be happy about the success we had.
In the past, we've covered books that fool people into buying them by masquerading as other books. That we're talking about books with titles like 35 Shades of Grey. That actually exists and it became a bestseller.
Yeah.
This is a little different. The cover suggests 50 Shades of Grey, but this wasn't an attempt to deceive, right? Merely to mock.
There is an element of mockery in there, but really it was kind of an experiment to see what would happen if we completely eliminated character development and we completely eliminated plot, and all we did was just double down on a gigantic Costco-sized helping of banging.
Thank you very much, Justin.
Well, thank you very much, Brooke.
Justin Robert Young is a co-host of the NSFW Show podcast.
The audience were, by the way, very, very excited about the exposure for the book. I told them, listen, like, you know, what could we read on NPR? And they sent me three of them.
I'm ready.
Matilda the Bearded Lady oozed sex. She had all the lovely curves of a beautiful woman and the facial hair. Roman Dial's soft brown hair bobbed back and forth in the golden rays of the San Francisco sun as I accepted his friend request between my alabaster thighs. He set the menu on the table with such precision and gentleness. I couldn't help but look at his large hands. They held signs of work, but were lithe like the wings of a moth.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Jamie York, Alex Goldman, PJ Vogt, Sarah Abdurrahman, Chris Neary, and Bernie Bernstein, with more help from Ariel Stuhlberg and Lida Martinez, and edited by me. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineer this week was Andrew Dunn. Katya Rogers is our senior producer. Ellen Horn is WNYC's senior director of national programs. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. On the Media is produced by WNYC and distributed by NPR. Bob Garfield will be back next week. I'm Brooke Gladstone. Get the cameras rolling. Get the
action going. Support for On the Media comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Jane Marcher Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.